I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater. And this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
The big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 227, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where you take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, March 8th, 2022, which means it's International Women's Day.
There it is.
There it is. Shout out to over half the population on the planet Earth. Slightly over half. Yeah. Amazing work. Amazing work.
Amazing work. Take it from a couple of guys. Keep your heads down, folks. Take it from us. It's going to be great.
Well-deserved one day of the year.
Yeah. It's a for, like, you know, the whole Women's History Month, right? It's Women's History Month this month. Mm-hmm. And then it's International Women's Day. I feel like... Yeah, the programming could be more significant. I don't know. It's just weird how, like, I think a lot of these, like, months that are like, here's a marginalized group, here's a whole month. And then it's like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
All right, we've addressed it. Don't look into pay equity.
Yep. All right. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. What do we want? An end to clickbait. When do we want it? The answer will shock you. That is courtesy of Tim Reinvented at Tim Reinvented on Twitter, a rare protest chant, aka. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, aka Nugs Bunny, aka Elmer Bud, aka Daffy Dank, aka Spliff Fester Cat, aka Porky Pip, aka Roach Runner, aka Bonghorn Leghorn. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Shout out to CWGBO and Not Enough DVDs Santa on the Discord for that wonderful Santa.
Oh, man. Not Enough DVDs Santa. Great work from everyone on that one.
Yeah.
I was watching season 2 of I Think You Should Leave again over the weekend.
Good.
And that Santa sketch. All time for me. An all-time great.
What is it about? Is it Cosmic Gumbo that cements it for you, or just
Cosmic
everything
Gumbo?
About?
It's also the action movie,
yeah.
Like the action part of it. Just how lazy the lines are, really fucking kills me. And also, I enjoy it as a fan of the Billy Bob Thornton radio interview where he demands that the guy not even acknowledge that he has an acting career.
Yep.
Yeah. All of the above. Form into one of my favorite sketches. Also, the Tim Robinson characters, which I hadn't watched, but that's like a free episode of I Think You Should Leave if you haven't checked.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. Dude,
I miss Jeff. That, and then when he goes to the gun store because he's been doing absolute paint job.
Paint jobs.
Wherever he goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Miles, We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny stand-up comedian, writer, actor, producer, and creator of Boast Rattle, a compliment contest, and Never Seen It, a podcast where famous comedians rewrite classic movies they've never seen. He's appeared on Conan, Comedy Central, Fuse, At Just for Laughs, created and hosted the podcast Faking a Murderer, where he talked with eight comedians for 8 hours about the show Making a Murderer, but did not tell his guests that he'd never seen the show. He also wrote and put on a satirical play, Glengarry Glenn Beck. He's got so many projects that just like pitch themselves with the title or like what one sentence. Also, he's apparently cracked the code on Wordle, because he's gotten it on one guess every day for the past month. Please welcome to the show the hilarious Kyle Ayers! What's up, man?
Sells itself with the title is a nice way of saying fizzled out after one.
But thanks great for having shit, me. Man.
I wanted to be a.k.a. Tweedlebird, a.k.a. Smokesimity Sam. I love Looney Tunes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
all I'm going to think about now. It's so fun, but thanks for having me.
Hey man, let us in, man. You're posting up sick fucking Wordle scores.
Yeah, putting up numbers. Yeah.
Like, give us some tips here. You know, a lot of people are like, this guy's on fire.
People do ask about this lots when I'm out in public. And the thing is, if you just know what it like, if you just guess it right the first try,
right,
then you get that's how it works.
Oh. So much easier that way.
I know. I always think I'm like, what would it be today? And right. I type that in.
Yeah. Mm. Hey man, you've cracked it. It reminds me of of the propaganda about Kim Jong-un that was like he just hit a hole in one on every golf hole.
Like, I think he like golfed a 19. Like he thought what right, would like fool people where he's like that par five I got in
I
two.
Got a two on instead of one.
Like, don't make it unrealistic. I shot a 19.
Do you plan on adding a one where you get it in two?
I think if there's a day, and this is a huge
if what
there's
do you mean,
a day
plan where, on? You mean if he's off?
I have thought about it. If there's a day where the word is adieu, I'm gonna get it, and I'm not gonna get it, and I'm gonna put like
because that's everyone's
because I think that's everyone's first word.
Yeah,
it all started when I jokingly said I got moist in one. Like I thought that'd be a funny word to be like that's my because it makes it look like it's your starter word, and now I just struggle for content. Right.
Yeah, do people get pissed at you? They're like
every
cheating.
Once in a while.
Yeah,
people have kind of caught on at this point. But when I first started, I was like 12 in, and someone goes. Doubt it. Like after 12. Yeah. I also doubt it.
You're like, because I got to 11. And then when you surpassed me, I was like, hold on.
I spent like 3 hours trying to get the Quirtle copy paste, but the formatting is impossible when you erase the little squares and they all move to different lines and stuff like that.
So yeah,
I wanted to look like I was getting Quirtle in one every day as well.
Yeah, which would be technically impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So hard.
Yeah, four it's so that's hard. Yeah, yeah, impossible to us.
Thing about Quirtle is you just got to guess all four words at once.
At once, yeah. Somehow.
Come on, Jack. You got to be more confident, man. Back yourself.
I know. All right. Well, Kyle, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Marco Rubio thirst posting pics of Zelensky. Just, you know, he was asked for security purposes. Hey, don't do this. And don't he was it. Like, oh, I'm yeah, sorry, yeah. I can't not be me, baby. What's more important than clout for old Rubio? If he had gotten that dude killed, like that would have been an all-timer.
And he wouldn't have said it was his fault. He would have been like, I don't know, man. I think the Ukrainian special forces really failed their president is probably what he would have said.
He would have blamed the Cubans for some sort of mystical technology they have that targeted him. We're going to talk about... Trump had some interesting things to say about the war crimes, just generally what would be happening if he was in charge, which is a terrifying thought experiment, like for the rest of us. But for him, it takes place in a Looney Tunes cartoon, actually, like his version of the war if he was still president. So it's good to see that, you know, his time in office has changed him and hardened him into a realistic adult human being. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, so it has happened. Hard Mountain Dew has hit shelves, some test markets, and the reviews will shock you. We'll go with that. All of that, plenty more. But first, Kyle, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, my search history. Oh, my God. Let me see the last thing that I searched. I guess it was Looney Tunes characters, so I could make those puns.
I thought you loved Looney Tunes. You're Googling Looney Tunes characters?
The last thing I searched was, why are there Oscars? And I don't remember if I meant like still or ever.
Right.
Why the awards ceremony happened.
Yeah.
But it's just mostly because it feels like we're in a post-award show world.
Yes.
Mm.
Totally.
I used to look forward to the Oscars. Yeah. I would love to win one if they're giving them out like Wordle scores. But at this point, I don't. It's this month. It's next month. It already happened. I don't know.
I think the peak Oscars for me, even like not even that I was so excited, but the last thing I like participated in was like wearing a tuxedo to watch the Oscars just as like a goof at someone's house. That was the year that Moonlight
won. Showed up at their house for like a casual viewing party in a tuxedo.
Yeah. Yeah. And no. They were asking everybody to dress up nice. And I was like,
I thought it was like that woman dressed up like the Babadook to go to that normal Halloween party. That was really funny too.
That was great. Yeah.
But yeah, like, and then after that, I was like, see, I don't even know why I'm here. And now, you like, to your point, I don't really understand what it means to even give an award out anymore.
Something happened, you know. I'm sure it's probably the only bad thing that's happened from the pandemic would be this fallout about award shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, I don't know. I was like, I'll guess them all and I'll see all the movies. And I think I was looking it up to see, like, is there a movie I should watch? But I don't know if it's because I'm not going to theaters, maybe MoviePass, maybe I don't know what's going on. It just doesn't feel like, I don't know, maybe I learned too much about celebrities' personal lives like through the pandemic. Sure. And now I'm like, oh, well, I don't care. And now I'm just sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're this month.
They're coming up, yeah. I think.
And maybe I probably won't watch, but I'll look up and see what won and be excited if it's actors or directors I like. But other than that, I'm not sure. It feels like, it used to feel like we're in Los Angeles. It used to feel like there's like this weight to them that I guess people just feel a little bit less. Maybe I'm seeing less people. I don't know.
Nah, I think it's just in general, like, this has always been an issue with awards is like when they really start departing from like what people are enjoying and what they enjoy about something, they don't like align with. They're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I would want that award because these people are also thinking the same way. Now people are like, what got nominated? What didn't get nominated? Who the fuck are these people voting? And that, I think that energy has just sort of completely made it, you know.
I could definitely see that factoring into how I feel about it all, where, you know, are you throwing a popular movie a bone to keep us on for a little while? Or are you not acknowledging that movies people like are real? If it's not just about, like, sometimes I see a movie trailer now and I watch it, I'm like, that looks like one. You know what I mean? Like, I had all the parts of, oh, the guy, oh, man, I bet that's that guy had,
movie things.
I bet the situation with his parents influenced his life.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, all right, there's another one of those. But I think you're onto something with that, Miles. I think it might have something to do with feeling like a disconnect between what gets nominated for awards and what people consume.
And I think that's the hard part is what group could actually embody that? Where you're like, you know who gives out the awards that make sense? This group of people over here. And I don't even think, like, at that point, is there even any weight to that?
If you look back through years of what won Best Picture, it is rarely the movie you ever think about from that year anymore. Hereditary is like the example I can think of where it is. But other than that, you really have to be like, what you look at it, like, is that the movie that remains in people's zeitgeist in their brain?
Oh, yeah. Shakespeare in Love?
Very rarely. Yeah. Is everyone going back and rewatching Shakespeare in Love, or do you rewatch Saving Private Ryan? Like, is it what movies?
Saving Private Ryan.
Sometimes they age even faster than that, like Crash, 20 minutes afterwards. Like Green Book, 10 minutes afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. That was couldn't have been real. Green Book looked like a Tropic Thunder trailer to me.
And you're saying Hereditary should have won?
Should have. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one. Yeah. At least that was like the last time we were like, that's the lasting movie from then.
Right.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
They tried to not give it to the lasting movie, and the people who won it were like, we didn't actually win, the good one did.
Right.
They're trying so hard.
Yeah.
I like La La Land. I shouldn't say that.
We do a thing every year when the nominees are announced where we talk about like that it should be a 5-year delay on the nominees so that like you
right, it's like the Hall of Fame for sports.
Yeah, exactly. You get to see what's stuck around. So,
oh, that's funny.
But I personally, you know, I just think Hollywood's brightest stars need a night to come out and shine. Personally, that's always been my stance. So, it's a mess,
continue to be
for sure. What is something you think is overrated?
Hate following people.
Mm.
Oh,
bad for your brain.
Oh, right.
If you're like, I gotta. I didn't follow Marco Rubio. I could just look him up when I see everyone talking about him.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I just don't need to like see the casual overflow of like following people just to like quietly dunk on them in my brain and scroll.
Right. I feel like, yeah, the people like I follow people like that. And it started out of this thing of like, oh, I should be able to like respond to tweets from this person on Twitter to get some jokes off or something.
Sure.
And then my will for that dissipates. And I'm like, why am I just only looking at Ben Shapiro and right. Candace Owens on my feed now?
I know. That is the, I think he is the maybe the primary one that's in my brain when I think about something like this. Because I go, you know, everyone screamed about something with him. And I go look. And I'm like, I have 800 common followers with this guy?
Right.
Right.
That's crazy to me. But what, what are you just seeing? You see the stuff that he clearly just wants attention for. But you also see like him just tweeting like fun day, or I don't know what he does, but like
right.
I doubt he tweets anything that casual, but like you got to see him just promoting his podcast every day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who's the last, what's the last hate follow? Have you been cleaning up your follows? Is that how you
that is kind of what led me to this is I just kind of like going through and I'm just like, do I need to follow like both Lindsey Graham accounts?
Yeah.
Right.
You have to.
The person one that we remember, there was like an hour where everyone's like, is he funny?
right.
And but then I follow the actual one like ran by the whatever, you know, people who work for him. I gotta stop. I gotta stop.
Yeah, there are good people for like who do the hate following for me. Like yes. Cody Johnston is a great person to follow because he will bring to your attention anytime one of those people does something very stupid or anytime John Krasinski has a burner account and is telling people who criticize his movies that he's 6'2 and could beat the shit out of them. I do not have the energy or attention span to
hold
hate
on,
follow
dude. Can
people.
Are we going to breeze right by what's going on with John Krasinski's burner account about beating people up?
I feel like people missed this. So
hold on.
This okay. You know what? Maybe it's underrated hate following people because apparently I missed the whole John Krasinski.
Just follow Cody because he caught this. It was John Krasinski. Like, so somebody went on a tear one day because people kept accusing John Krasinski of being a CIA op because he rebooted Jack Ryan with himself as Jack Ryan, except Jack Ryan's no longer just an analyst. Now he's also like a badass action hero. And people were like, all right, you're a CIA op. And he was like, you know, you better like stop saying that because Krasinski actually like trained with a military unit and he could fuck you up. And then Cody was just pointed out like, hey, so that account was just created today. Are we going to pretend this isn't John Krasinski?
Oh, what?
Because it was an account that was created one day and just went around saying the most self-serving, like,
I just
bullshit
picture,
thing.
Like, they're like, we weren't sure if it was him or not, but the only tweet the account had was, looks directly at webcam and smirks. Right.
That's right. Yeah.
I hope he's out here dunking on people who are trying to take down leatherheads.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so, because that is an underrated classic. Not to step on your underrated, but I'm sure it was Leatherheads.
The buildings of football is an important thing to have. He does have the body of a prototypical athlete when the movie took place.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to go back that far to where he would have been the largest athlete on Earth.
That's true.
Like he probably
50 years before the advanced athletic body of Larry Bird, there was John Krasinski.
I think about it sometimes. You know, we don't have to go back that far where we probably could have made the Olympics in something if we tried.
Right. Yeah.
Like the three of us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I feel like drop my body into the 30s.
Yeah.
I'm getting on some Olympic team.
Yeah.
Right.
You're telling me I couldn't like outswim the guy who played Tarzan? He won gold medals.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just would have loved to, you know, play basketball in a belt and a polo shirt or whatever the fuck they played in back then. Like just a round leather ball with
just
no
the
seams.
Innovation you would have had in the middle of the Olympics. You would have been like, what if we cut the bottom of the basket out?
Right.
And they would be like, holy crap.
I feel like, oh man, 1936 would have been tough, man.
Are you looking up the records right?
Yeah. I'm like, damn, I'm not beating Jesse Owens. That shit ain't happening. Like,
maybe not even a thing you want to claim to be able to have done.
Yeah.
If I came on here and all I was doing was saying I could have ran faster than Jesse Owens, it would have felt really agenda driven.
All right, let me go further back. Maybe 28. What happened in 28? Let me see.
100 years ago, we all probably could have made the Olympics. Wrestling?
Damn, I'm not running a fucking 10-4 fucking 100 meter.
No.
You got to maybe do something else. You got to do one in like more long-term athletic ones. Space. A niche sort
yeah.
of thing. Like,
yeah.
What if you could do the high jump? The high jump world record was like 20 inches.
Right.
Well, yeah.
You just like jumped over it. You didn't like do that floppy thing.
Yeah.
The high jump was just like, you just kind of jumped over something. Like
right. And while you're doing it, you had to like salute the president.
It was just two kids holding a jump rope on either side and you had to jump over that.
you had to twist your mustache upwards over every hurdle during the steeplechase. And you're
right.
Like, I'm making my way.
They're like, but that's a 2-second penalty for Williams. His monocle came out.
Now he's just running in a little circle over and over again.
We saw Williams gawk at a lady. That's a 4-second penalty. They're not married.
There was a good story from like the, I think it was like 1900s or so, like the first decade of the 20th century, like Paris had the Olympics and people like got lost during the marathon run. And like, there was so much like smoke and coal ash and shit that I think somebody died. So yeah, they didn't really have their shit together back then. It was more like hobbyists.
I never understood the marathon as a thing where we're like the guy who invented it died at it.
Yeah.
And now we're all like, ha, 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 we can do it.
Yeah. Now there's ultra marathons that are 100 miles. And,
what?
Yeah, and more.
Yeah.
Whenever I see those people, like, you know, watch YouTube video, like you see like motivational YouTube clips and it's about some dude who like, or anybody who's like, I ran 300 miles. You think I did it because I gave up on myself? And you're like,
I think you did it because you suffer from a very specific type of mental illness.
Yeah, I would like to watch those videos with a therapist.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And he'd be like,
what are you really running from? And the guy just cries.
Nobody's asked him that. You actually win the race because you just catch up to people one at a time and say that to them. And they all just like break down into tears.
You just have pictures of their parents with you.
Yeah.
And it's also like nothing that makes me more resolute in like not being a athlete or exercising and like, you know, very high levels, because I see somebody say like, it's easy to run your first 80 miles. And I'm like, dude, fuck that. Like,
that's where it gets you.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't drive 100 miles without stopping.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, is there a Taco Bell? Do we have like one of these weird, is there like that gas station that has the alien outside of it? Like, I got to find something within 100 miles.
Hold on. We need some habanero jerky right now.
Yeah, that's the best jerky in the world.
I'm also going to just say overrated, hate following people on the street. Don't do that.
True. True.
Where you going, man? Where you headed? What are you doing? Oh, one of those fancy walkers, huh? Okay. Think this is New York City or something.
I'm going to tell everyone about this walk, but I'm going to be ironic about it.
Yeah.
What is what's something you think is underrated?
It's so funny that we ended up where we did with this talk, because my underrated is listening to audiobooks while exercising.
Yeah.
I started trying to run a little bit. I like to swim and I like to bike, but running is, I hate it. I hate running. I hate it.
Yeah.
And someone told me to listen to audiobooks while you do it, because then you get excited to go do it again because you want to know what's happening in the book.
Damn, you must be listening to some good audiobooks. Give us
I know. How long are listening to the Fellowship of the Ring?
There you go.
Which I have read, but it's just like, I want to get back into this because they're good at the book.
Right.
So I think that it's helped me be a little more motivated to do the very minimal exercise that I am trying to do.
I do that with movies. just run. Like, I just need to give myself like something that's like a treat. I can't like do like a book I've been meaning to get to while I'm running. You know, it has to be.
You watch a movie while you run?
Yeah.
Oh, you're on a treadmill, probably.
No.
I've been hit by a car five times in the last 2 weeks.
You got some sort of like head rig where it comes up in front of you. This is your hands-free running watch.
Yeah.
You drive around Los Angeles, you'll see enough people watching TV while they drive.
Yeah.
That's not that far-fetched.
It's really blown up exponentially, I feel like.
Oh, I saw a dude touch the skip intro button of the Queen's Gambit while driving.
I mean, that's automatic. That's pretty...
He's like, you don't have time for that. You're in traffic.
Right. Yeah. It's like, nah, I got to get to the narrative. Wait, so you normally, I can't run. I just hate running. I can only do it in the context of like sport, like when I'm like chasing after somebody or like playing basketball or soccer, like that I can run.
Yeah.
But just like straight jogging. Fuck that.
I have just kind of started doing it, and getting like a mile without stopping is a huge, huge thing for me. And I run so slow.
The first mile is so hard.
The first mile is the only one I'm doing. But I literally hit a half mile and I turn around and go back. But it's really, really hard. But the third or fourth time was a little easier. And that felt kind of like good.
Yeah.
When people, you talk to people who run, they're like, you're going to get the runner's high. It's like, no, I just run only a mile and then get regular high.
Right.
Works much better. Much more time efficient. Yeah. Running slow is the key. You got to make yourself run very slow and then you'll maybe start to enjoy it.
And I tried at the beginning of lockdowns. I was like, fuck it. Like, I got to do something. And I did it maybe for like a month. And then I was just like, this is just fucked up. Like, I can't. Who am I kidding here? Like, I thought I could do it, but now I'm biking. It's easier.
Biking's
feels
the best.
Like a kid.
Because you know what no one ever tells you? They never tell you, you're going to need a knee brace.
Right.
I'm 33 and I start running. I'm talking to my friend who runs like a lot. And he goes, you're going to want to get a knee brace. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'll do this till it hurts and I'll quit. Like, I'm not going to, I'm not pushing through gear.
I'm not going to, hey, I'm not trying to do this consistently. Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk Marco the motherfucking Rubio, which is how he's asked me to introduce him.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And yeah, Miles, you pointed out that Rubio was flex posting on his meeting with Zelensky. I had missed this because I also don't hate follow people.
Yeah. You know, look, the flex post, we get it. Everybody's been guilty of it here and there. Maybe you got upgraded on an airplane. You're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm taking a picture. Look at my stinking ass in first class. Flex post. You just maybe met one of your idols. You want to take a picture with them, put it on the gram. I get it, little flex post.
Got or maybe Wordle on the first try, 100 days in a row.
You got to get a little flex copy.
Meeting Wordle legend Kyle Ayers. Dude, flex post.
Flick it up with me, bro.
Right. Or maybe you're on a Zoom call with Ukrainian President Zelensky after the Russians tried to assassinate him 3 times in 1 week, and he's constantly moving around for his own safety as he leads his country's homeland defense. Flex post? Yes, for Marco Rubio. So Steve Daines and Marco Rubio both posted like screenshots of their Zoom call with President Zelensky over the weekend. And this was like a huge call, apparently. It was like almost 300 senators, House members, and their staff. They were all with Zelensky. So he was, you know, catching them up to basically like what the situation was on the ground, what kind of aid they needed, et cetera. And then Rubio just literally posted as if he took a picture of a laptop, because you can tell by like the angle of it. This isn't a screen. It's like, I'm going to take photo.
This is with his phone.
Yeah. Let me take photo of computer. And it says, on Zoom call now with President Zelensky.
Right now, at this moment.
Right now. And Steve Daines did the same thing. Currently on a Zoom call with President Zelensky with like another, again, a crude iPhone picture of a computer.
You know that he saw Rubio do it and he was like, nah, I got to let everyone know. It's like letting everyone know you're at the party. Do you know what I mean? He's like, Rubio posted a story and didn't tag me.
I mean,
so I got to let everyone know I'm here too.
I mean, exactly. Because Steve Daines did post that, I believe, eight minutes later.
Yeah.
Which is probably how long it took him to figure out how to do a screenshot.
Right. Yeah. He's like, what do you mean? Command Shift 4? Yeah. How do you?
What is the Apple button?
Open Apple? What?
I think this is an opportunity for President Zelensky. If you, because I know you're listening, I'm not even going to say if.
He's a huge fan.
Virtual backgrounds, my man.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
throw the Eiffel Tower back there and throw Putin off.
Exactly. With that Looney Tunes logic that we're going to get to that Trump be on.
He just pictures Zelensky painting a tunnel on a side of a mountain to see if Putin will drive a tank into
it.
Yeah, exactly.
If he had put China as the fake background,
yeah.
Putin would have bombed China. We get the thing that Trump is going to be talking
there
about later on.
Put a bathroom at the Kremlin as your background.
Yes. Wait a second.
We're on to something. So this is like after, right? The ambassador explicitly asked attendees to this Zoom meeting. This is from one of the other senators who like didn't post and was just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Said, quote, the Ukrainian ambassador very intentionally asked each of us on the Zoom to not share anything on social media during the meeting to protect the security of President Zelensky. Appalling and reckless ignorance by two U.S. senators. Yeah, I mean, the last part goes without saying, but it's weird because Rubio, who last I checked is not Jason Bourne, went on, I believe, Jake Tapper's show on CNN and was just like, everybody's just tripping. Okay.
Wait, Tapper asked him like,
yeah.
Hey, what the fuck?
If everyone's asking you to go on TV to justify it, I bet everyone's not tripping.
Yeah.
It's not like they want you on there. If you're, it's like they're like, we need to find a way to get Rubio on our show. Has he done anything out of step?
You tweeted a photo of Zelensky during the virtual meeting. Democratic Congressman Dean Phillips said that the Ukrainian ambassador had explicitly asked lawmakers not to share anything on social media until after the meeting ended, just for Zelensky's security. Is that true? Was it a mistake for you to tweet that picture?
Well, first of all, she asked that like 30 minutes into the call after I had already done it. The second is I think she's under the impression that no one knew that call was happening. You know, that call had been widely reported. Actually, the specific time had been reported. There were over 300 people on it. All the call details had been emailed. So there's nothing secure about that call. And the picture is just a nondescript picture. It looks just like every of the other ones that you've seen out there publicly. So there's no risk posed, but you know, you're always going to have a couple of people that want their name in an article somewhere and mentioned in the press. So.
Oh, you mean like you?
They're always, you're always going to have these people who want attention for what they're doing that day. And
yeah.
Those are the people coming after me.
You know, just because you have some cool friends. I think they're just really haters, you know, because I think a lot of those people weren't on the call. Man, so
this is a brutal way to find out. I got Marco Rubio's haircut 2 days ago. Was seeing that video of him on CNN.
I'm sure you're a data analyst. You're an analyst, so you know. It's a nondescript room, you know?
Yeah.
What's the problem? I also just love, though, too, he's like, well, like, the ambassador only said that, like, 30 minutes, like, into the call. Like, I didn't even know until she said, like, that's not even fair.
I was too busy tweeting out to pay attention at the beginning of the meeting.
So ridiculous.
Dude, you know he was so excited to do that all day. He knew he was going to get on there. He knew he was going to post the thing about it. He just wanted the attention for being there. You want to be invited, and he got invited.
And yeah, you know, like there is part of me, like I get it. I get the urge to take a picture and say, like, you're on a Zoom call with the most famous human being on Earth at the moment. But that's if you completely remove all of the context as to why you are even speaking with this person and why they are even the most looked at famous person on the planet at the moment. Like, come on, like.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, I did a Zoom show with Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway, and I had a pretty similar situation happen where I took a screenshot because I was so excited. I was like, and Zelensky's almost an even more famous comedian at this point than
like
Colin
some would
Mockery.
Say even more, like at this moment, you know.
Right, right. Not at peak, but at this moment.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like not absolutely. If you take an average but I do, over you do the course
hyped.
Of a lifetime. But yeah,
you get
hyped
to see someone famous, but to be like, this is crazy. This is the most famous guy. And then you know what you think? I am a sitting U.S. senator.
But that's a. I think that's
maybe
the whole
I don't
problem.
Need attention.
I think that's the whole problem. There, the whole Russian invasion of Ukraine, like, has really brought out this. I think in the mainstream press and also in a lot of politicians, this desire, like, this just they're just horny for a world where they are making life and death decisions, and like their entire job and the course of this country isn't like already predetermined unless you like change who they are entirely. So
he definitely really wants everyone to think that like Zelensky was like, and Marco Rubio, how do we resolve this?
Right.
And Marco Rubio like clicks the raise hand button in Zoom and then is brought into the big clean. He's like, yes, yes, thank you. Like it wasn't just Marco Rubio.
You're on mute,
basically,
Marco. You're on mute.
This dude was basically CC'd on a Zoom. You know what I mean? If not BCC'd on a Zoom.
Marco, did you have something you changed from the little party streamer emoticon to hands clapping? I didn't know. Did you have something or you're just, okay, cool.
No. I'm just figuring out hotkeys.
Yeah. Hold on. Look at this. I can make my eyebrows look green.
So, Marco Rubio should have, if he really wanted to make me laugh, he should have made his, taken a screenshot of Zelensky and made that his wallpaper like he was sitting in the chair.
Right.
Or framed next to him. He's like, oh.
He's like right next to him nodding and he's like at meeting with Zelensky and he's like shaking his hand even though Zelensky just has his arms out like Tim Robinson in a sketch.
And his hands just like flat out. It's like there's no sense of depth or anything. He's like, yes, I'm hugging him.
Bringing him a drink like you would see people making those little Zoom videos of themselves delivering themselves coffee early. And remember when Zoom was fun?
Yeah. Camera off, returns in the exact same t-shirt that Zelensky's wearing. It's just like,
that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Puffing his chest up. He's like, whoa, twin day, huh? They're like, please, oh, shit. Senator Rubio.
He just tweets TFW.
All right, let's talk about Trump telling us, you know, where his brain's at. He may be our next president. He thinks he's going to be. Mm. And he was speaking with some donors over the weekend in Louisiana. And he had a lot of thoughts on what is happening in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Like, he knows Vladimir Putin, like, so well. He's actually the homie Vladimir Putin. And this wouldn't have happened if I was president. It's sort of, he said, quote, I knew Putin. Okay. All right, Gautier. I knew Putin very well. He would not have done it. He would have never done it. He kept saying this, like, same line over and over again. when you're like, okay, but we already heard from John Bolton last week on this, and we saw with our own eyes you were actively trying to withhold aid to Ukraine for your own like political gains, and you also literally can't find it on a map. So, sure.
Right.
What other ideas you got, Donnie? And then he went back to one of his old favorite, you know, tracks, which is NATO sucks and the U.S. should leave. We're paying too much money. NATO's nothing. It's a paper tiger, blah, 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 blah. So he criticized, you know, the lack of like aggressive military response, as if like the response from the all these other countries, like, yeah, man, just fucking destroy, destroy the country with like nukes or something. But he was really, really agitated that there wasn't like this huge show of like militaristic force. And when people were like, yeah, that's to like avoid a literal overt world war. Now it's like a cold war, world war, where the West is definitely arming another country and being like, yeah, you know, we don't really want to get into it. We'll just give you the shit to blow them up with. And, you know, because he didn't like that, he came up with a very clever response or idea. The solution was to paint F-22 Raptors with Chinese flags and have them, quote, bomb the shit out of Russia.
And then he said, China did it. We didn't do it. China did it. And then they start fighting with each other and we sit back and watch.
That's a quote.
I just picture him saying all this, and then it just pans over to Nathan Fielder, who's like right. nodding his head, like, yes, mm-hmm. yes, paint the Jets, have them do it, and then it's exactly, it'll work perfect.
That is the, like, I guess it's a reminder of what it was like when he was the president, but like, I had read that, somebody tweeted that quote, like, and then we say, China did it. We didn't do it, folks. China did it. And then they start fighting. As somebody had tweeted that quote, I had no clue if that was a joke or not. Like, I assumed it was because
it was met with like uproarious like laughter and applause when he said that to the donors. Now, my question there is it the kind of laughter applause where it's like, holy shit, I agree. This guy's a fucking genius. And I didn't think of that. Or is it more of like, holy shit, I can't believe this guy thinks that shit would work. He's just kind of a goofy guy. You know, he just says stuff like that.
I think they're just probably just like, oh, God, I can't believe this guy's here. We'll talk about this while golfing. I don't even think anyone's paying attention. It's
right.
Yeah. I think, yeah, people just go. I think they're used to being like, Trump says something, you cheer. But I'm sure there are also people who, you know, people with very little knowledge about global military conflict is like, yeah, that's fine. I don't know if that's a war crime, which it is.
I believe Trump is to rich people what his supporters are to him, where he thinks they love him. And they laugh about him when he's not around, even if he helps them.
Oh, because they're just useful. He's just useful to them.
He's just useful to them, but he's a joke of a rich person to them. You know what I mean? He's very, and I don't know how wealthy these people were at the Louisiana fundraiser or whatever, but I imagine he doesn't talk to too many of his actual supporters because he finds them
despicable. They're gross. They're disgusting. Yeah. Look at him.
He houses them in a airplane hangar and they get to see him there, but it has to be open air. People,
the second he leaves the room, everyone's like, oh my God, that fuck. You know what I mean? This guy's. That he is a joke to them as well. To the
and I'm sure he was joking, but he's planning to run for president and was criticized for being like for his take on Russia. So it is just a weird thing to be joking.
Oh, for about. Sure. He's never thought about anything.
Right.
He's never thought about anything before. I hadn't thought about him in like a week. Do you know what I mean? He pops up so much less frequently now. And then every time he does pop up, it's something like this. And you're like, he's going to win again. And because in the interim, the guy who's in there now has done nothing he said he would and told me to go back to an office. So like, right. I think.
Yeah.
Also, hope you guys saved up some money to pay those student loans back up. Because my friend, the banks.
It really is. I know he has trouble remembering things, but I didn't think he'd forget everything he promised so quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, one day at a time. One day at a time. One crisis at a time. As they're like, all right, do we cut off the Russian oil and then have to figure? I mean, I think it's really convenient because now Democrats are, you know, rather than pointing at corporate greed and stuff, they'd be like, this war between with Russia attacking Ukraine. I mean, the inflation is gone. Wacky.
We do keep getting caught up in wars every time there's almost an election.
Right.
That's crazy. I'm not going to look into it.
Nah. Better to not. Better to leave it. But again, I do want to commend Trump's like legitimate Looney Tunes logic on how to like defeat.
It is the duck season, rabbit season of inciting war.
Right.
I'm not familiar with duck season, rabbit season.
Oh, so duck season, he's hanging up, it's like when Bugs Bunny would hang up duck season signs over the rabbit season signs so Elmer Fudd would hunt the Daffy instead of Bugs.
Right, yeah.
This is him doing that.
Yeah.
The planes with Chinese flags is hanging up duck season signs.
Right. Yeah. And we all know F-22 Raptors, I mean, the prized possession of air forces across the globe. Oh, wait, no, they're only, they've never been sold outside of the U.S. But okay, sure, put a sticker on it. And now we're like, you see, Vladimir, I mean, like, what's going on? They're wilding. I mean, I think they stole our planes too.
Yeah. And there are like, you know, there's a school of international relations, the realist school, where it's just, you know, might makes right. And like, you know, we have to plan our future in international relations with the ideal that, like, everybody, you know, as soon as a major power builds itself up enough, they're going to come for us, and China is in the process of doing that. And so the U.S. needs to make friends with Russia, not, like, provoke this war. Like, I had somebody who, like, took issue with, I think I was regurgitating a little bit too much of like the New York Times talking points on the, you know, Russian war invasion of Ukraine. And like, they sent me a really interesting like lecture where this like professor from Chicago, University of Chicago, is like talking about like how that decision to back Ukraine's involvement in NATO is really like the very beginning of this whole thing, and it was like very foolish. That all makes sense to me. The fact that Trump is just said that the way to handle that is, it's not even like that guy is thinking in chess and Trump is thinking in checkers. It's like so far below that. He's like thinking in, yeah, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but checkers would involve like setting up a board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And knowing where the pieces start. It's like he walked into the middle of a checkers game and farted on the board.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. He's like, we call this dog poop sucker.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
And then got lifted off the ground by the scent of his own fart and like started. Yeah.
Like when a pie is going and they smell the pie wave. this is good. That would be the perpetual motion machine.
Yeah.
It would be him just smelling it. And like, I mean, put a magnet in front of a car. Could it really
feel like not a bad visual metaphor for his entire life? You know,
right.
Just continuing to fail.
He doesn't have to worry about his bone spurs acting up if he's floating under the scent of his own fart.
Yeah. Just farting his way.
Alternative fuel.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And Hard Mountain Dew, we've talked about its impending existence since it was announced. It was presumably like birthed by just the gods, like the meme ability of having hard Baja Blast, like Taco Bell and, you know, Pepsi, which are the same company, I guess. They're not fools. They know that this is like a slam dunk, but for execution. All they had to do was nail that execution. Baja Blast is great because it has more sugar than regular Mountain Dew, which has a shitload of sugar, like has an illegal amount of sugar in most countries. And Baja Blast coming through being like, nah, let's ramp that up. We want this thing to be on the verge of being a solid with how much sugar and caffeine. And then, you know, color it the color of miniature golf water, and we're in business. And then hard seltzers are obviously, you know, coming on strong. And yeah, I love Baja Blast. I love Mountain Dew. I have tried to stop drinking it as much as possible. I still have a six pack in the fridge at all times in case I need to celebrate.
Behind a little piece of glass, you gotta like knock out to get to it.
But you know, I don't drink, so I will not be partaking in the hard dew. But I was eager. I was like, this is the evolution.
Yeah, I think everybody hearing about it, everyone was excited. Whether you drink or you not, like not, it's just like it. Like you said, it's a fucking meme. You're like, right. Oh shit, Baja Blast is now like something that will lead to DUIs. Interesting.
Right. It's crazy that whoever invented this stopped yelling at their stepkids long enough to make it.
So I think, you know, I like the idea of it. You know, and I was never being like, you know, I can't wait to seek this out for my next, you know, imbibing moment. But, you know, I think my instincts are correct because we're starting to get some reviews. The people at the takeout got their hands on some because for right now, this shit is only available in like 3 markets in Tennessee, Iowa, and Florida.
That's so funny. It's like, where do people shoot shit in fields?
Right. Just to see. And it
that's
blow like up.
For that's a Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right. Okay, now add some Baja to and a Mountain Dew, watermelon. They got so many flavors. And now we've got the market cornered. And apparently retailers in those areas have said this shit is flying off the shelves. Like at a 5-to-1 ratio to their other products. And I get that. It's new. And like we said, it's a drinkable fucking meme. Like I would buy it just to be like, hey, come over. And then I'm like, yo, I got that blasted Mountain Dew shit. And people are like, oh, okay, you got that hard Mountain Dew?
Yeah. But I mean, this is a great thing to bring to a party, even still, like right now.
I would love to order it at a bar where they make drinks. That way the bartender knows, no, I don't want anything you've learned.
No.
Yeah. I want that one can.
I want you to kill me.
Yeah. It really feels like Four Loko walked, so hard Mountain Dew could, I don't know, ride a jet ski in an appropriate area.
That's what you would think, right? Mm-hmm. That is the promise of the concept Mountain of this Dew. Product.
Yeah.
It has no caffeine and no sugar. Like, what the fuck are they thinking?
Like, it's 100 calories, though, because we got to keep up with the White Claws of the world.
Right. But no, you don't. That's not your target. Like,
I know, right? Nobody who is trying to get like combine their Mountain Dew drinking and getting fucked up is like, got to check my blood sugar. Got to make sure I got to keep my blood pressure in check. No, I get it. I'm part of the group of people who like to die by chemical food.
Yeah,
I'm with. I'm willing.
I mean, this should definitely be an option. It's great that they have an option for, you know, people who have diabetes.
It could be called Mountain Don't.
Yeah,
they have or Hill Dew. There's a lot of things they could call the lesser version of the mountain.
Hill Dew.
I don't know what's smaller than a mountain. Plateau Dew.
Foothill Dew.
Hill Dew. Hill Dew sounds like a King of the Hill nephew that you don't know about. That's Hill Dew.
Right. But you know, in this one write up from the takeout, it's hilarious because their biggest complaint is there's so many fucking artificial sweeteners in it that like they can't handle the fucking taste. This one, this excerpt, this beverage, which tastes like Sprite consumed immediately after downing a tablespoon of bubblegum flavored amoxicillin. They're setting up these different like man versus technology, man versus society.
The whole article, y'all need to read. It's by Lillian Stone, and it's a great work of writing.
It says the man versus society conflict emerges in Original Dew's artificial sweetener content, as in the drink is so full of acesulfame potassium or ACE-K and sucralose that I cannot enter society because I am farting so much.
Black Mirror really did come true.
By the way, my gum of choice, and I'm a big, I like to have it chew every once in a while, you guys. I'm a big chewer.
Big league chew?
My gum of choice is Trident, and they switched to one of these artificial sweeteners that did contain something that fucked up your bowels. Like,
Whoa,
a little while. Yeah, I was just like, uh-oh. This is bad. What the fuck's happening?
Wow.
From chewing a piece of gum.
The fallout of like one rich guy being like, this could save us 100,000th of a cent per pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just.
And now everyone's farting.
Painting toilets across the nation.
So, yeah, like they go on and many other flavors. The sort of verdict seems to be the same for all of them, which is like, this shit is a failure. It tastes fake. It tastes like medicine. There's nothing pleasant about it. It's barely carbonated. What are we doing?
Damn, I'm gonna love this stuff. I know.
You
I
think
am.
So?
I love shit. Like medicine tasting crap. I love it.
I love medicine tasting.
When you
crap.
Read the thing and you're like, it tastes like the Sprite after you have the bubblegum amoxicillin. I was like, that's good. I was like, I think they're trying to deter me, but
right,
I want
right.
that.
That
like,
should be on the poster kind of spray. For this.
I love like Necco wafers. I love the Circus Peanuts candy. I love the crap that is the fakest tasting medicine tasting crap.
It's kind of amazing that they failed this. I mean, granted, like this is going to appeal to some fucking freaks like Kyle.
I understand.
No, but because you read about like what their food laboratories are like, and you know they have these concepts of like mouthfeel, and you know Mountain Dew is, I think, one of the great, you know, triumphs of human soul destroying capitalism, because it's just like so perfect at accomplishing what it's trying to do. And then to like have that same team, or I guess it wasn't the same team, but like the same company designed something that falls this flat and like misses what people like about Mountain Dew so badly. It actually gives me a little bit of hope for the future of America, because it's like, maybe we're not on rails towards just a world where,
you know, maybe Mountain Dew's the godfather, maybe Baja Blast is part two, and maybe the hard stuff here is part three. It's a little bit late. A lot of the people aren't good, but you know, standalone, it might be all right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not his fault. Goodfellas, aka Topo Chico's Hard Seltzers, came out around the same time.
Interesting. I mean, it's like you said, Jack, it's like, how does PepsiCo lose their way? You know? How did they lose their way? Why didn't they stand up?
This sounds like
people?
The beginning to the biggest blow off class at any college.
Welcome, folks, to the history of Mountain Dew.
here at Glenview Community College, economics class, we'll be exploring how PepsiCo lost their
way. It's brown. It's one. This is it's American an Ivy
Studies
school.
203, the history of Mountain Dew, folks.
I think it would just be a whole class about foods that aren't colors you've ever seen.
Right.
Like, this isn't a nature color. Wrong?
But, I mean, like, that's where you feel like they should know their market well enough. Like, the marketing of, like, the can, right? Even if you look at the graphics on the can, it's like a fucking bear is, like, ripping off, like, a mountain. Like, they're, like, these aggro animals and shit on it. It looks like somebody who, like, welds without, like, a fucking, like eye protection or face protection on. Like, that's the energy I get from the cans.
Yeah.
So to suddenly be like, but we got to compete with the 100 cal, zero sweetener, zero sugar added folks. Like, I think that's where they fuck up by just not being aggressively being like, it's basically pre-mixed cocktail with Mountain Dew in it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these cans and it says that Mountain Dew is actually invented to be a mixer when it was invented overall.
Is that true?
Originally intended to be a mixer for alcoholic spirits, when Mountain Dew was created more than 80 years ago, the brand is returning to its roots in one of the first alcoholic versions of a major soft drink.
Based on the origins and the original like marketing around it, I would have to assume that spirit was moonshine.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like Mountain Dew does taste like it was invented to make you not taste something else.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I exist to cover up death.
I never feel like direct wiring from something I'm putting into my body to my brain as directly as I do when I drink a Mountain Dew. It's just like it's just so direct and like, I don't
know. You're jacking into the Matrix?
Yeah, I'm jacking into the fucking Baja Blast mainframe.
There's this comedian who lives in Atlanta named Andy Samford who has a joke about how he's getting too old to just be walking down the street with a bottle of Mountain Dew. He's like, you can't just have that in your hands when after 30.
Yeah.
It's green.
Yeah, I mean, I do look. I like to give somebody a quick up and down if I see him cruising with a big old bottle of Mountain Dew. I'm like, hold on. You might be worth talking to.
I mean, you would be doing a lot of. Your eyes would get tired in the South, man. That's That's just about everyone. But
that's why I'm curious why people aren't rising up and saying this is not our king. Our king is chock full of high fructose corn syrup, and
maybe
not
drinking all the Mountain
bullshit.
Dew is why they're not rising up.
I mean, to Kyle's point, though, I have to assume that they, when they're picking a test market, they're just like looking at where sales for Tannerite are like at their highest, and going there, Tennessee, Iowa, Florida. I feel like the Mountain Dew drinking populace is maybe not the one you want to fuck with. Or maybe they are. Maybe they're all just...
They might be looking at, like, Nielsen ratings for Maury reruns and then just releasing the hard Mountain Dew in those markets.
All right. So this actually... I wanted to... Quick sidebar. Want to put this in a category of pop culture things that, listeners hit us with your answers to this question. But this feels to me like obvious great idea that in execution sucked. Like my other example that I could come up with in like the 2 minutes after between me thinking of that and when we started recording was like, I feel like Waterworld was like a cool great idea and then the execution wasn't quite there. I'm also stealing from the Reddit thread because there is a Reddit thread that was like great idea, bad execution. They pointed to Downsized, that like Matt Damon movie about adults being shrunk down. And I've always said that like that is shrunk down people, shrunk down characters is a underexploited like movie idea. Like because we got Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is now like outdated and it was for kids. And like the only adult version we've gotten is Downsized. I guess maybe Ant-Man, but it feels like that.
But you want it like inner space. You want more like people got all tiny all of a sudden. Adults got tiny.
Give it to me. Or they could be kids. I don't give a fuck. Just remake Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like
you do feel like There should be as many shrinking people movies as there are like these other sort of like heist movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me more shrunk people.
How often can we rob a casino?
Like that, dude. I don't know. That captured my imagination.
Who would be in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot? I think Andy Samberg plays Rick Moranis.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I don't remember any of the other.
And then I think we're good to go. And we made it. That's enough to get you in. That'll get you in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. And someone plays a big giant ant. That's the other part I remember when they were in the front yard. Freaked the shit out of me when the sprinklers come on. Oh.
You thought that was somebody playing that giant ant?
It wasn't?
No, Miles, that was a real giant ant. They shrunk those damn kids.
Oh, shit. I got laughed at when it was a What Do I Want to Be When I Grow Up project in kindergarten. Yeah. I said, I want to be the performer that plays the ant in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Do you guys have examples of this, like ideas that seem like, okay, that's going to be great, and then they suck?
The Hindenburg?
Yeah. The Hindenburg is a great idea.
Look at that. You can float around all cool. It has a renewable resource involved. Unfortunately, the renewable resource is fairly flammable.
Mm-hmm. The dirigible future that was promised where everybody's just fucking blimping around.
Blimping around everywhere.
Yeah. Big
blimping.
Super underrated.
I think, man, it's so weird because you say that. I'm like, man, I fuck with Waterworld. But yeah, I know it's bad. And I guess that's why I'm trying to think, I'm like, okay, what did I just wish there was, they gave me just a little bit more. I feel like so many things are like that, but it's hard for me to pick something at the moment.
I'm really into like the premise of these new Jurassic Park movies where like the dinosaurs got out and
right.
But yes. Like apparently those movies suck. But like if we just live, just give me a world where we live in a place where, you know, you have to be inside today, inside like a metal caged home today because dinosaurs are like coming through. Like that, I would love that's the dinosaur. A fun future.
What about mini discs?
Discs? That's so I was literally going to say that.
Really?
What?
I'm like, what did I, because I had to think to myself, I'm like, what's something that I fucked with and it was a holdout for a long time? Like,
oh, yeah.
Insisting that this was going to work. And I used to make so many little custom mini discs and shit. And I thought I was on, you know, there's the wave of the future until like burnable CDs and like CD drives became like, you know, ubiquitous. But I really, the mini disc felt like there's some of the physical media that made a mini disc feel like what I was listening to was really important.
The mini disc felt like you had evidence.
Right.
Like someone's like handing you like intel, but it's actually a Switchfoot song.
Wait, I don't think I ever like paid attention to
just small CDs. No one did, but that's because they were invented like the same time as very, very early like 128 megabyte like MP3 players.
Right. So they were replaced by nothing. The cloud
immediately.
Yeah, right. I mean, because it was like this the like. Last dying farts of the physical media industry trying to be like, what if you got this though? And it's easy to just record on these. They're like tapes, but they're CDs. But
they didn't exist long enough to have the stuff everywhere. Where CDs are still kind of around because every CD players are involved, blah, blah, blah. But like a mini disc player was so niche its whole existence.
Right.
I feel like in the food category, Pizza Hut has dropped a lot of specialty pizzas on us that are like amazing ideas. Mm-hmm. And then every time I have them, they just taste like extra salty pizza.
For sure. Yeah. I did have the Little Caesars Batman pizza calzone combination.
You did?
Yeah. I do have my limited edition The Batman art that says Little Caesars pizza on it. It is it's a little liquid. The whole thing kind of tastes a little too wet to be pizza or calzone.
Oh. Yeah.
That's what do you mean like too soft?
It's like soft and runny and it all sort of mushes together. Sort of, you ever see that area where two oceans meet and one of them is a little brown and the other one is blue? And it's like, that's what the pizza feels like.
You don't know what
to do. Where you're like, shouldn't this just be mixing? And it's like, oh no, the ingredients are bumping into each other in a weird way.
Wow. And did you see The Batman or just
got pizza? Oh no, I'm going to go see that today.
Wow. Okay.
I like to go in the middle of the day when there's less people around.
Yeah.
That's smart. Oh, okay. Oh, that way you can get emotional in there and not feel bad.
That way I can keep asking my girlfriend which one's the Batman.
Which one?
I like to do fun stuff like that.
Oh, so he's Batman.
You figured out a little ways in. You just like to do fun little gags. Like there's fun to be had in empty movie theaters.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sure. Batman. Like that sort of things.
Oh, man. I thought it was Batman.
I'm hoping
Batman.
We figure out finally what happened to his parents.
Right.
I'm just hoping this movie finally covers these same two fictional people I've seen die 9 times this century.
If they were, like, the fact that the Joker jammed that in there was very, I don't know. But if they dramatize that scene one more time.
It'd be so funny. I hope Robert Pattinson's Batman finds that out by watching one of the other Batman movies on an iPad.
Because I know that like it came up because there's something in the new movie that suggests that the timeline of his parents' death was 2001. And people were like, so that means that he was coming from, like they were coming from the first Fast and the Furious movie. Or, you know, Shrek or something like that.
If they just could have held off to have him leaving Twilight, it would have been like a perfect nod. And then I would be okay with seeing it again.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, as always, a true pleasure having you on TDZ.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I'm Kyle Ayers on Instagram and Twitter. And I have a podcast called Never Seen It, where comedians rewrite movies they've never seen. That's going to be coming back pretty soon. We got like Henry Zebrowski and Mara Wilson and some fun people who are going to be doing that. And but follow me online. I'll post about it.
Nice. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Dang, this is funny. We just talked about this, so I don't want to do that. I'm glad I wrote two down. So Ellie Crimendahl, I hope I said that properly. I might not have, tweeted, "So grateful for my spa treatment today," and then in parentheses, "held face above strainer while making mac and cheese." And it's very relatable to me.
Mm-hmm. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also the other pod, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk about 90 Day Fiance. Tweets that I like at Slappy, but it's with a V, S-L-V-P-P-Y, tweeted, "If you stole your first pair of AirPods, you are a responsible motherfucker for real." And thank you. I felt that. Also,
damn,
I think
are you stealing your first pair of AirPods?
Yeah. It's also the panic of like when I lost shit as a kid, my parents were like, "Okay, here's the new policy. It's one and done." It's like, "But I need that." It's like, "Well, you shouldn't have lost that shit because it's expensive." I'm like, "But I need my Police Academy handheld video game from Tiger Electronics." Lost that shit
need.
On.
Huh? That is a need. You don't want to mock losing that.
Exactly. Another one is from Shahana _ Srini. Shahana Srinivasan tweeted, "You were searched 43 times on LinkedIn this week. Okay, so where's my job?" Which feels, it's always like, what does that even mean? And then Stephen Monticelli at Stephen, Stevanzetti, tweeted, "Mike Jones blowing on that Indo GameCube Nintendo, 14-year-old Stephen. He gets me." Although, have to pull your card there. That was actually Slim Thug who said that part. It wasn't Mike Jones on that song on Tippin. Anyway, shout out to Mike Jones.
Wow. Nice try, asshole. That was your
nice
that was your set was Slim message to that tweet that you were highlighting. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying at Twitter's Bad Boy. TGB on Twitter tweeted, "I'm at a cardiology convention in Chicago and the keynote speaker is being arrested for murder." It's a fugitive reference. And Adam Sirius tweeted me, "Here's your 30th birthday card, friend crying. Please stop. One was plenty." You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people should go check out?
Oh, just some nice little beats that'll make you feel like you're in 1997. This is a track called Little Creatures by Jade Cicada. And I don't know, when I first heard this song, it felt like something that would have been in like the movie like Wild Things or like Intolerable Cruelty or something, where it just feels like those kinds of instrumentals where you just show, like, it's just to reveal a character and you're like, oh, they're cool because this song's cool. And that's the very specific idea I had when I heard this song. So this is Little Creatures by Jade Cicada.
All right. Well, go check that song out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.